golden opportunity to come and study his word. I'm always happy when I think about associating with community of Christians. Yesterday somebody was asking me, am I going to come to work today? I said no. And someone replied that, Olu, so they call me Olu. Olu will never come to work on Sunday. So, and honestly, it's a wonderful thing because it's an opportunity to look at yourself, right your wrong, and prepare yourself for the challenges of tomorrow. This morning, our Bible study is titled The Cost of Discipleship. The Cost of Discipleship. As we are familiar with, most of our lessons run over Sundays. But this particular one is going to be just a Sunday. So we'll try and put everything together without rushing to get the most that we can take home. Have you ever wondered what a disciple means? A disciple. Have you ever wondered? What does it mean to be a disciple? Or who is a disciple? Anybody can tell us. Who is a disciple? Follower. Good. Any other maybe word to describe what a disciple is? Okay, we'll go with follower, which is right. A disciple is a follower, somebody that walks, that copies another, people who stand behind one who is a leader. A disciple is a follower of Jesus, who learn from him and live according to his teaching, and help others to grow in faith. And being a discipleship is a lifelong commitment of following Christ, obeying his command, and spreading his word. Are Christian disciples? Are they also disciples?
Yes.
Very good. The Bible in the book of Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it told us where the disciples gathered somewhere and spent about a year. And eventually, that passage of the Bible told us that they were called Christian for the first time. So, Christian, basically, is a disciple who follow Christ, who commits, who obey his word, follow him according to his teaching, and help others to follow him. So there are like three basic things. He's a follower, he's a copier, and helping others who live according to his teaching. According to the scripture, the book of John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. It is important that we study a lesson like this in order to help us to appreciate who a disciple is. Or maybe Christianity comes with a price. Have you ever thought about that? That be just because you are a Christian, there is a cost that is attached to it. Is there a cost? What kind of cost? I mean, for example, for anybody to become a medical doctor, you must have gone to the university, been to medical school, graduate, have some hours of practice before. As a Christian, or maybe not just that, What kind of cost does it take to be a Christian? What kind of cost? Yes, sir.
Denying ourselves.
Denying yourself, yes. That is sacrifice, yes. Any other thoughts?
Determination.
Very good. Very good. According to the passage we mentioned, John 8:31, he said, continuing in his word. It means that a disciple is somebody that always continues in the word of Christ. In Luke 9:23-24, Jesus also proclaimed again, whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow him. So that supports what you say. Being a disciple is simply denying yourself. So it's not just obeying the word, it's also come with denying yourself and being consistent. Because Jesus said, continue in my word. In Luke 14, let us read from 25-33. We may not read the whole verses, but we can take verse 26, 27, and 33. Luke 14.
If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yes, and your life also, he and he my disciple. 27. And whosoever does not hear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Yes, and 33.
33 reads, to my wife, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, cannot be my disciple.
You see, from this passage, if you actually do the entire reading from 25-33, Jesus was admonishing the people that are with him, his disciples. And he said that if you don't forsake father, mother, you know, these people that he described are the close people. That if they are more important to you than following me, then you cannot be my disciple. And he also mentioned something which we have read earlier. He said that whosoever does not bear his cross daily. What does bearing cross, what does it mean? What does it mean? Brother Gary, can you help us?
It means to go on a death march.
To go on
a death march.
A march.
When Jesus' assignment was to die in vain. So he had to be willing to forsake his own interests above God's interests. For those of us who choose Christ at the baptistry, we must also do the same. So all of our human relationships, all of our own desires, we must be willing daily to put behind Christ. Question when you talk about comfort force is, do we do this on a daily basis?
Yes. The cross that will bear that Jesus refers to on daily basis is the sacrifices. Thank you, Brother Gary, that you have to take, because it was the big sacrifice of carrying or bearing the cross and dying that Jesus, it takes Christ to pay for us as a ransom. Also, as Christians, we have to bear our cross on a daily basis. So, from these different passages that we have read, it shows us that there is a lot of cost that it requires, not just obeying His word, because so many occasions we may just bear the name of being a Christian. We may also believe that by denying yourself alone, it's enough. But it also goes further, that by remaining in His word. Being a Christian requires a lot, far more than we often think of. And if we don't have a candid view of how much it takes, we may not be able to give what it requires. So many times we fail as Christians because we do not seem to appreciate what being a follower of Christ demands from us. It demands more than just, because so many times a lot of Christians believe that I can be Christian at some occasion, and some other occasion I can be myself. But is that what Christ demands from us? So the purpose of this lesson is for us to see the image of who a Christian is and how much it demands from us on a daily basis for us to be a true disciple of Christ. Let's look at the example of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, 7 to 8. Paul gave us an instance of how much it takes for him to follow Jesus. 3, 7 to 8. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see how Paul counted everything that were precious to him. He said he count them as dung, that he may win Christ. What about us? What are the things that are precious to us? Things like my education, my degree. You can't talk to me like that because I'm learned. Do you understand? But according to the example of Paul, he said things that are valuable to him, he counts them like dung. What is dung? If we have a pile of dung here, do you think we can sit here? No. It means that the things that we actually believe are valuable, they are like filthy rag. The Bible describes it as filthy rag. And so they are not comparable to Christ. He said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Simply, following Christ is far more precious and incomparable to anything that we may think is valuable, like money, like property, like treasure, like achievement. They are not enough to measure to the value of following Christ. In Corinthians chapter 9, let's read that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. Thank you. I don't like that translation, so that I will not be disqualified. He said, everybody that runs a race, they don't just run. They run because of a prize. Is there any prize attached to being a Christian? What kind of prize? Yes, we may say heaven. Yes. But have you ever imagined, are you sure you want to go to heaven if something comes now and heaven, Are you willing to go right now? It's a question. Are we sure heaven is what we are really expecting?
Of course.
It's easy to say. Somebody say we want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Yes, it's true. But the reward of following Christ ultimately is heaven. According to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says, for bodily exercise profited me too. That godliness is profitable unto all things. Having profit of now, there's a lot of benefit right here on earth for us to be a Christian. And the benefits are far outweigh all that it demands or the sacrifices that we make. According to this Corinthians 9, Paul said, I fight not like somebody beating the air. He's not fighting aimlessly, but I keep up under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself will not be cast away. Being a disciple or being a Christian is not just about carrying the name or just a follower of Christ. It's about winning the prize. There is a goal ahead of us. And if we are not diligent enough, just like Paul admonished in his writing, we may miss the prize. In John chapter 6, verse 60, John 6:60, this was one of the places where Jesus Christ, if you read it from 60 to 66, Jesus Christ was admonishing the people around with one of his sermon. And it got to a point, if you read that verse 60, the people say, this is a hard saying, because he keep telling them, you have to sacrifice, you have to do this, you have to do that. They counted it as a big challenge. And so they turned back. Because what we are telling ourselves is what matters to you, your pride, your dignity, your everything doesn't count in terms of Christ. The Bible told us that he did not regard shame, but he sacrificed himself. But so many times we as Christians today, we cannot be put to shame. We have to stand up for ourselves. But the price of following Christ is far more than the things that are precious. Let's read that verse 16. John 6:16.
Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, Jesus has said, who can understand this?
He said, this is a hard saying. How can you tell me? It's difficult. And verse 66. You know that so many people refuse to be a Christian today because they cannot pay the price. They cannot deny themselves. They can't afford not to enjoy the pleasure of life. And some of us, sometimes we are Christian, and some other times we are ourselves. I cannot come and die. Some people say that in my local palace, that I cannot come and die. But becoming a Christian requires far beyond. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26, verse 18, Romans 8:18, Paul said, for the suffering of this present time cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Therefore, true discipleship or being a Christian It's all about obeying His word, denying yourself, and forsaking all other things. I remember when I got married, maybe I said it before. When you go to the magistrate, the registry, to swear, they will tell you to and forsake every other woman. I don't know, some of us that are married. And you know, the amazing thing is that when the registry was telling me, it asked me to say it, is it 5 times or 6 times? And my wife said it once. I was wondering why. This is not fair. But in following Christ, you have to forsake everything. You have to forsake your pleasure. You have to forsake your rest. You have to forsake family. You have to forsake all these things in order to be a true disciple. It's not that you will let them go, but anything that stands in the way of fulfilling your religion as a follower of Christ is not worth it. They have to come after. And that's why sometimes I tell people that, first of all, we were Christian before we occupy offices in the church, before we take responsibility. We are Christian because in the end, God will save Christian, not pastor, not elder. He will judge you as a Christian because all of these are just responsibility that you have to prove your religion and your discipleship and your loyalty to Christ. Is discipleship for all Christians? Yes, it sounds odd. We have said being a follower of Christ requires a lot of denial. You have to be consistent in your belief. You have to count everything. Second place. Is it for all Christians? Or maybe it's just for the evangelists? Yes. Of course, we know of the 12 disciples. Haven't you heard of the 12 disciples before? Yeah. So why not the evangelist or the elders and the deacons? Is discipleship for all Christians? It's a question. Yes. Discipleship is for all believers. We are all followers of Christ. We are all expected to live in the likeness of Christ. We are all supposed to do all the sacrifices, the pain, the shame, that we might suffer. Discipleship is meant for all believers, and not just for the evangelists, the elders, the deacons, or the missionary. We are all called to service. The Bible describes us as workmen in the vineyard of God. So sometimes when, as a Christian, you feel that, oh, I am not expected to do this, nothing is required of me, that people are doing it. No. When we feel the responsibility, because we all occupy different positions. The Bible describes us as vessels. Jesus said, in a big house, there are different vessels. There are some vessels for honor. There are vessels, for example, the toilet seat, if it got broken now, I can't use it, do you think it will be comfortable? Do anybody, I'm sure most of us never think about toilet seats right now. But as insignificant as the toilet seat is right now, if it breaks down, some people might just have to go home when they feel seriously pressed. So this is how we are all. Some people will see them as not very useful, but God uses us for different purposes. We all are disciples. We all are called to service in the kingdom of God. In the book of Matthew chapter 28:19-20, Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Whosoever believes, the goal, the great commission is for each and every one of us. Is for each and every one of us. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are all ambassadors. Who is an ambassador? A representative. Wherever you find yourself, you are an ambassador. I have said a phrase here. Some people's best kept secret is being a Christian. It's only when we are seated there that you are realized, we recognize as a Christian. But when we are out there, we are ourselves. We have to be trendy. We have to prove that we are associated with the world. But the Bible describes us as ambassadors wherever we are, and that is for each and every one of us. Being a true disciple is not my life plus Christ. This is one of the big mistakes that we make. So for example, oftentimes most of us that are Christian, we believe that Christianity manifests a certain situation. But what does the Bible say? In book of Philippians, Paul described, he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So being a disciple of Christ is not my life plus Christ, but my life equals to Christ. It means that there is no occasion that you should not manifest yourself as a Christian. Whether in your marriage and your marital challenges, or in your business, or at work, or in a crisis, or in any situation, according to the writings of Paul, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he said, to live is Christ. Our life equals to Christ, not our life plus Christ. Christ is not an attachment to us. No. The Bible says, whosoever be in Christ is what? A new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. For some of us that didn't come when we started, we've been talking about the cost of being a disciple. And we've told ourselves that becoming a disciple of Christ comes with a high price. We cannot have life and enjoy Christ. We have to put our life behind and put Christ ahead. And when we do not know how much it requires of us to be a follower of Christ, we may not be able to know how far we need to go in order to prove our Christianity. This is what we've been talking so far. Are there any challenges in being a Christian? We've talked about denying ourselves. Yes, what kind of challenge? What kind of challenge in being a disciple? What kind of challenge? Yes, my wonderful sister, you want to tell me? Because you see, the purpose of all of this is I want us to see ourselves, each and every one of us, as important follower of Christ, as an ambassador of Christ. There was an event in Nigeria. Maybe you've heard about a militia terrorist group that will go to places and kill people and kidnap them. There's this one girl called Leah Shaibo. If you've heard about the story, and those militants got there, and when they got there, they were asking them, are you a Christian or not? Anyone that renounces being a Christian will be allowed to go. And this particular girl refused. Said, yes, I'm a Christian. I cannot renounce it. And they took her away. Do you know, since that news, some of us had this story, right? I still keep thinking about it, that this is that. I'll say I'm a Christian and I'll die. It's a big price. But Jesus said, whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And whosoever saves his life will lose it. So what kind of sacrifice? Again, I ask you, does it take to be a Christian? Mama, you've been an echoer. Sorry, teach us. What kind of sacrifice does it take? Just give me one. It could be a word. How much, what sacrifice is, does it take to be a Christian? Anyone? Okay. Somebody wants to tell me. Yes, thank you, Michelle. Forgiveness, very powerful one. It takes, you know, this word you said has really brightened my life in the past few weeks. I used to be very, very worried and disturbed. But there is this thing that whispers into my head that it's all about forgiveness. And each time I practice it, I feel refreshed. Thank you very much. Any other word? Hey, my brother, share. What does it take to be a Christian? I mean, what kind of challenge? Or maybe being a Christian is a bed of roses. We just carry and we believe that, yes, life is good, right? Yes, mom.
To deny yourself.
Deny yourself. So things like, I like jollof rice.
Yeah.
So when they say fast, and I remember when I was small, my dad used to make everybody fast. And you see fried chicken, jollof rice, yeah, it looks simple, but denying yourself is a lot. You can deny yourself of pleasure, of your time. It's very good. Being a Christian or being a disciple of Christ comes with great challenges, persecution and opposition. As a child of God, there will be persecution. People will oppose you. These are part of the sacrifices that it involves. In John 15, 18 to 20, the Bible told us that Jesus said, the world will hate you because they hate me. So today, as a child of God, as a follower of Christ, if they hate you, just know that these are part of the things that you have to do, or that you have to carry crosses. You need to shoulder because you carry the name of Christ, disciple. Another thing is sacrifices and self-denial. Thank you very much. God bless you. You have to deny yourself. What do we deny ourselves of? We deny ourselves of our of pleasure, of wearing certain clothes, of speaking up sometimes. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that when a fool keep quiet, he might be regarded as being wise. Philippians chapter 3, 7 to 8. You can't go back or look back to your former life. Yes. You can't go back. As a Christian, once you become a disciple of Christ, you can't look back again. You can't look back. Remember the story of Lot's wife, that attempt to look back. You notice that a similar thing was mentioned in the book of Hebrews 11, when they were talking about the matters of faith. He said the women, that the people refused to even think of the past, of looking back, so that they might not have a reason to go back. It's a lot of sacrifice. Temptation and worldly distraction. You know, sometimes the moment you give yourself to God, or the moment you say, this is what I want, that is where, for example, some of us that are married, The moment I say, oh, I'm going to keep it, that is when you see reasons to, no, I will not agree. As a disciple of Christ, you will face temptation, and we should be prepared for it. There will be worldly distraction, so many distractions. Book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, say, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, the things that are in the world, the pride of life, and such like, are the things that are in the world. Another challenge that we might face as a disciple of Christ, as a Christian, is spiritual welfare. Oftentimes, especially in advanced society like this, we trivialize spiritual welfare. But I tell you, the devil is still raging. He's still fighting. He's still fighting with thoughts, with imaginations. He's working in our mind, creating assumptions, creating images that will distract us from following Christ. Everything that makes you not to do the will of God, that's spiritual warfare. And many occasions, you can only fight this with the Holy Spirit, with prayer, with the guide of God. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. As a Christian and as a disciple, as a follower of Christ, you will face rejection. Sometimes people will reject you just because you're choosing the right path. By friends, by family, you will struggle with faith. Faith. The Bible says, whatsoever you need, ask and believe is done. Sometimes you still worry. It's part of what comes with being a disciple. And doubt. The book of John chapter 3, verse 20, tells us that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. We know it all things. So even though you are a Christian, sometimes your faith will shake for certain situations. You will weary. Sometimes you will falter. For this, all of this, even Jesus himself. Can you imagine, at the point of his dying, he shouted, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? So when you feel shaking, when you feel struggle with your faith, when you are doubting the power of God for deliverance, don't worry. He is there with you. It's part of what will come. But don't forget that passage, 1 John, you can write it down, 3:20. Sometimes when we are weak, he will carry you. How do we demonstrate ourselves as true discipleship, a true disciple of Christ? By obeying his command. John 14:15. By loving one another. How can we say we are a Christian when we don't love? By sharing the gospel. A lot of us believe that sharing the gospel is meant for the evangelist. But no, sharing the gospel is meant for each and every one of us. And we can share the gospel through many ways. By your life, where you are, do people know you as a Christian? We all have this wonderful device in our hand. How much of it do we use to preach the gospel? We show ourselves when we buy a new dress, when we are having nice time. We want to keep the memories, but how much of the memories of the great deliverance and mercy and grace that we receive, that we share? For us to sleep last night and wake up today, it's not your doing. Because you are not in the hospital today, does not mean you're better than them. It is grace. God has given us this grace. So, we can demonstrate it by sharing the good news with everyone, by living a holy life. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Bearing fruit of the Spirit. Yes. Being deliberate in shining your light. Being a Christian is not in secrecy. Jesus doesn't want us to be a follower in the secret. He said, let your light so shine. Sometimes we talk about the light shining, but where do we put the soul? It's an emphasis. When I was reading this passage, I tried to read other translation. There's an emphasis. How do you show yourself, especially here? By getting involved. By showing what you can do. By proving yourself. Do you know that saying hello, how are you, to somebody can brighten their day? Being a disciple is not being in secret. You have to show yourself. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, it says, study to show yourself approved. But if you read other translation, for example, let's read that passage. 2 Timothy 2. It says, study to show yourself approved. Yes. But I want us to look at other translation.
15.
Yes. Are you? Yeah. Let me hear what your translation will say.
15.
Yes.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God.
That's enough. Diligence. Any other translation?
Do your best.
Do your best. According to the Amplified Version, it said, study and be eager. It's not just being a Christian, it's not in secrecy, in your home. I listened to an interview about relationship, and there's a lady that the interviewer was in. I saw it on TikTok, you might have seen it before. And the guy said, how are you? She responded, I'm okay. And I said, oh, how long have you been married? She said, and I asked him, is he happy? And the lady said, what kind of question is that? You're supposed to ask me, I'm not happy in my marriage. He said, no. It's a different kind of interview. Because your husband is not here now. Is he happy? And the lady was frustrated and couldn't answer. Can people say you're a Christian where you are, in your home? Can you be said to be good? Do you know that the testimony of the world also counts? People have to see that you are a Christian. You are not just a Christian in private. You have to exhibit it. People must see it. That is when we are a true Christian. What do we need to do to be a true disciple of Christ? Yes. We've been talking about the cost of discipleship. How much it takes. And when we don't know that we have to do more, then we may not be able to get ourselves prepared. Jesus gave a story of a man who wants to build a tower and say, first of all, calculate how much it will cost. Because if you don't calculate it, you might get to a point and may not be able to continue. All of this is for us to count the cost. It's not just about following Christ. Are you ready to give what it takes? You have to be the one to make the difference. Oftentimes, you want difference to come from others. That is what we expect, that they should change. No, as a Christian, you are the source. The Bible says, we are the light of the world. What does a light do? It shines. It brings light. But some of us are waiting for the light of others to shine into our life. No, we are a Christian. So what happens when your light is shining and your light and my light is shining? What happens? The whole place becomes illuminated. When we were small, there is a touch light bulb. I don't know if you have seen a touch light bulb. Touchlight. It's a tiny bulb like this. When it's been spent or damaged touchlight, we will take this bulb and try to light it with a used battery. Has anybody done that thing before? When you light the, you use a used battery to light the touchlight bulb, it will light up. But how does light look? Very tiny. It can't see anything. But is it lighting? Yes, it's lighting. This is how some of us are. We've got the light in us, but it can't see anything. But the Bible wants, Jesus wants our light to shine. He said, we are like candle that burns, that the world may see. These are the expectations that is expected from you as a Christian. So what does it need? What do we need anything to be a true disciple? Do we need anything? We've talked about how we can show it. We've talked about what it takes. But do we need anything? Yes, my sister, my beautiful wife. What does it take? What do you need anything? I need a lot. I know what I need. Do you need anything? Like? Guidance of the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. Yes. Any other thing do you think you need to be a true disciple? Brother George, I want to tell you more. Yes. Yes. First of all, there are so many things, but I've written here just three, which I think are very, very critical. You need humility. You need humility to be a Christian. Humility is putting yourself in the second place. Let's read Philippians chapter 2, 3, 4 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3.
Let this man be in the middle of the party, who, being the conqueror, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of the own servant, and coming to the likeness of men. And being found in appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name.
Thank you. If Jesus can humble himself, what about you? What about me? Humility is putting yourself in the second place. Your importance, your opinion, your idea, your pride. For us to be a true disciple, we have to humble ourselves. We have to count others first. Oh, I want a Porsche, but you have yours first. Oh, we're having a discussion. What is your opinion first? Oh, we have a dispute, but can we go your own way first? Humility is all about others first and me later. If you can do this, it will help us to be a true disciple. The dictionary describes humility as the quality of having a modest and low view of yourself. Low view. Can you be seen to be humble in the church, in your home, in your workplace? Another thing we need for us to be a true disciple is endurance. Some of us got a limit, yes. And when we get to our broken point, we drop all the Christian virtue and we want to show up ourselves. For us to be a true disciple, we can't give up. We have to endure. Endurance is standing still, not giving up, even in an unpleasant situation. We need love. Love is kindness. For us to be a true disciple, we have to be kind. Kindness is the ability to love people more than they deserve. Oftentimes you want to give people what they deserve, but love is about giving what they don't deserve. Love is mercy. Mercy. Love is compassion. I remember Brother Gary's this definition of compassion. Your pain in my heart. Have you ever seen, or maybe it has happened to you? If it happens to you, you can feel it better. The car door hitting your hand or a boot. Have you ever had that experience? It's like one of the most excruciating pain. And when you see it, if it has happened to you, you can feel it. You can know, even though you are not the one, you can feel it that, oh, this must be really painful. That is how a disciple is. You must see it from the person's point of view, not the way you are seeing it. That is what love is all about. Are there any benefits? Yes, there are lots of benefits. You have deeper relationship with Christ. There is forgiveness because we are all sinners. There is eternal life. Your life will be transformed. In conclusion, my brother and sisters, the cost of discipleship is so high, but the reward is far greater. May the Lord bless His word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I know I've